Yet, it's not independent. You remember this? This is independent. When I go to the doctor, he will do something for this, right? This limited existence. But heart is not limited. How? How can I say that my heart is not limited? Imagine something in me. How do you want imagining, changing Iran and all that? You cannot say it's limitless, because at the end of the day it should have a limit. There is only one way to be limitless. To be connected to limitlessness. That's why we believe heart has window. Heart is connected to something else. My body is not connected to hap or beauty, but the heart is. That's how we understand that the heart is limitless and it will become clean forever. Because it has a connection deep down, secretly. Because the heart is a tank, yet it's ambush, it has a hidden channel to the sea. So, in a way, the size of my heart is the size of the ocean of holy wisdom. Because ocean of holy wisdom is here, is everywhere, including me. And I can touch it from my heart. Your limited cleanness needs a maintenance, but the heart doesn't need the maintenance. We talked about these two pools. Now you should understand that these are not separated. There is no independence. So these two pools in me are interconnected. Means my heart and my body are interconnected. Means what? Means my body could add some filth to my heart and my heart could clean up my body. Do you remember the form and the essence? Same story. This is why we talked about the form and the essence. My body is my form, my heart is my essence. And these form and essence, they work together. So when I want to clean the essence, I start with the form. Remember over there it said, when you do the prayer, you're doing some ridiculous nonsense movements in general, right? You're sitting down, you're praying like a Muslim, you're praying like... You're doing some silly stuff. But that's something else, because that silly stuff is touching the essence of your belief. That's what's happening. Here, we emphasize that. Yes?
The heart is muddied by the steps of the body's tank. The body is cleansed by the water of the heart's tanks. Haunt the steps of the heart's tanks, O son. Take heed and always be aware of the steps of the body's tank.
This isn't exactly what we're told not to do. In our childhood, every day in the newspaper you will read a boy or a girl died falling in that water tank, because in every house they tried to have a big top for washing the stuff and everything. And the children will fall in it and will die. So that wise was always, do not approach the pool. Don't go around the pool. Here we will say, go around the pool and only there. Do not go anywhere else. Because that pool is your savior. The pool of your heart. Yes?
The sea of the body is dashing against the sea of the heart. Between them is a barrier which they shall not cross.
Means what? Means that bizarre stuff. That we have these two oceans, the wave goes from this to that, but in between there is an enormous mountain. Because in one hand, the information in here, the information in the heart, are information, are wisdom, are knowledge, but the difference is they don't look alike at all. The holy wisdom is something else, the physical knowledge is something else. So you have to accept this duality, that there are these oceans, very close and very different.
But you were just talking about the filth from the sea of the body not going into the heart, and you have to clean that up so that, and then the heart is going to bring what it needs to bring to the sea of the body.
We did a little bit different. You said the filth from this doesn't go there. It goes. The filth from my brain goes above. Thank God that one is not limited to be filthy immediately and helpless. Because it has connection to the sea, it will be cleaner, it will be easier to be clean up, it's not that bad. Yes.
Right, but
then what?
So I understand the meaning of between them is a barrier which they shall not cross.
Yes.
So
that barrier is a special filter which doesn't let some special fields going and coming back. It doesn't let that.
What does that mean?
Means that there are some negative knowledge which will never go in your heart. We talked about it before. Do you remember in the last paragraph we talked about becoming shiny, you never go back. A bread will not become the wheat anymore. That way, there is a barrier, yes. The goodness which leaks from the heart to the body will not go back. A little bit purity from heart will somehow leak in the body. It remains there. The filth from here goes there and will be cleaned, will be removed. But the goodness sticks to the matter. There is a filter, it's not just like there is no control. There is a control because the goodness is the winner. How that happens? Each time a little bit advantage to the goodness. So goodness will grow up. It's like the consciousness. Have you ever thought about the consciousness? Now the consciousness we taught now is not imaginable for Socrates and all those philosophers 2,000 years ago. They built it up the logic. Aristotle has made the logic, right? Today, you will be shocked. Not only with the information we have, with the consciousness we have. We start to have some even scientific explanation for non-scientific ecstasy of the gurus. So everything is changing. In this change, there is a trick. Yes, these two oceans are like this, but there are some stuff which are beyond. Means they will not be here. They will not stay here. They will vanish. Yes?
Whether you be straight or crooked, always creep forwards to him. Do not creep backwards.
Means do not use your weakness as an excuse to avoid this stuff. I don't care if you're straightforward or you are distorted. Come to this way. Yes.
If in the presence of kings there be danger to life, yet They that aspire cannot refrain from him. Since the king is sweeter than sugar, 'tis better that life should go to that sweetness. O blamer, safety be thine. O seeker of safety, thou art infirm. My soul is a furnace, it is happy with the fire. 'Tis enough for the furnace that it is the fire's house. For love, as the furnace, there is something to be burned. Anyone that is blind to this is not a furnace. When the provision of unprovidedness has become your provision, you have gained life everlasting, and death is gone.
What sense does it make to you, this? Read it again.
When the provision of unprovidedness has become your provision, you have gained life everlasting, and death is gone.
Fuck. Means what? I'm sure that there are difficulties, because even in Farsi, when you read it, it's mind-boggling. First of all, it talks about barg. Barg for Iranians means leaf, the leaf of the trees. That's barg. But at the same time, the oldest meaning of that word means whatever you have, your asset. You have some asset, because they had some asset to put it on the back of the horse when they were traveling. Therefore, they call whatever you carry with you, whatever asset you have, all the properties and stuff you have, they call it sozobarg. Okay? Here he will create one word which is difficult to swallow. Barge bi barigi means the asset of assetlessness. You see the trick? The asset of assetlessness. Imagine someone who is traveling with a horse and it has nothing on the horse and he could do the job. You see? Like a magician. You see? That's where we are heading. To have the asset of assetlessness, to leave the need to need, because we are needy. There is an opposite state, which we don't know how to talk about it, because it's like this. So we call it, whenever you found the asset of assetlessness, you have found the remaining or not dying life, John Balki. And the death is gone from you. Because death is the end of animal life. And it depends on the assets. We're talking about something just the opposite. Assetlessness will be your asset. You will be here eternally, and you will not think about the death. And you will become someone else. So listen carefully. Now he is describing the state of mind of those people who achieve that level of enlightenment. First of all, they don't need the asset. Then?
When the pain has begun to increase your joy, roses and lilies have taken possession of the garden of your soul.
See? Normally, when they talk about the sorrow, what do you think? Imagine that the sorrow will increase your happiness. When sorrow increases your happiness, suddenly the garden of your soul starts to flourish. What does that mean? Yes, poetically it's beautiful, I know. But what? What does that mean? Show me something. Remember this 6-year-old boy nonsense here? Will you not